I'm Laura Harper Lake.
And I'm Sarah Reitzman, and you're listening to Creative Guts. Hey, listeners, thanks for tuning in to the Creative Guts birthday episode. Today's episode was created for the Nashua Public Library's summer reading series, Imagine Your Story. The Nashua Public Library invited us to share our story and teach others how to share theirs through the beautiful medium of podcasting.
Given the timing, we thought we ought to share our story with all of our listeners in honor of our birthday. So happy birthday, Creative Guts, and an extra special thank you to those of you who have been with us since the very beginning. Enjoy this special episode of Creative Guts. We'll share with you all about Creative Guts and how and why we started the podcast. But first, let's kick things off tonight by introducing ourselves. I'm Laura Harper Lake. I'm an interdisciplinary artist with a prime focus on painting, illustration, printmaking, and mixed media. I graduated with a degree in studio arts from Chester College, and I've been exploring creativity since I was a kid. Art has always been my primary passion. In 2016, I officially started a business for my art called Artful Harper Studios and have a studio at Art Up Front Street Studios and Gallery in Exeter, New Hampshire. My day job is graphic designer and business advisor for the Regional Economic Development Center, a nonprofit focused on creating opportunities for small businesses in New Hampshire.
And I'm Sarah Reitzman. My day job is not distinctly creative, but being the director of a nonprofit does require a lot of creativity. I am the executive director of the Workforce Housing Coalition of the Greater Seacoast and the housing planner for the Regional Economic Development Center. Creatively, I'm first a storyteller and a writer. Both of these skills definitely draw from the creative side of my brain. But more recently, I've become a fiber artist and I dabble in embroidery and cross stitch and have been working toward doing some cartography and printmaking too.
Now that we've told you about us, we're going to tell you about Creative Guts.
Creative Guts started last spring. First and foremost, it is an interview-based podcast exploring the roots of creativity, diving into the hearts of creatives, and discovering how creativity connects us as humans.
The podcast is inspiring, empowering, and hilarious. Truly, we have a lot of fun with our guests.
We aim to feature a diverse array of creative people on the podcast. Painters, printmakers, chefs, actors, musicians, illustrators, teachers, dancers, advocates, podcasters, improvers, videographers, jewelers, woodworkers, embroiderers, fashion designers, writers, metalworkers, muralists, photographers, sculptors, architects, and more.
There is a lot.
The podcast was released about a year ago on July 3rd of 2019, which also happens to be Laura's birthday. We're so proud of what we've created.
Creative Guts feels bigger than the three microphones we have. It is all about connecting with each other on a human level and connecting with a creative community. We've given so many individuals an opportunity to tell their story to the world, and there are still so many more stories left to tell.
As a result of the show, we've helped artists and other creatives meet each other. We love when we see two past guests collaborating on a project. Yes, it's great to highlight these amazing people, but it's also about tearing down walls and getting vulnerable and learning from one another.
We hope in our small way, we've helped to enhance the arts community here in New Hampshire and maybe a bit beyond. Shout out to our listeners in Canada and Australia. We see you and we love you.
And we've both grown as people and as creatives because of the podcast. I've learned how to edit audio and video. I was inspired to learn how to embroider. I took a jewelry making class at the Port City Makerspace, the president of the board of directors was featured in an episode of Creative Guts. I later joined the board of directors for the Port City Makerspace, and I'm dabbling in printmaking and cartography and more. And it was all because of this podcast. I am more confident and empowered as a creative than I ever imagined I would be.
Out of the two words in the name of our podcast, I've really tried to focus on the second word, guts. This spring, the owner of Art Up Front Street put a call out to all the other 8 artists in the collective. Who wants to paint a mural on my building? Now, I have painted a few murals before, but never this big and never on an exterior wall. And it has been a few years since I'd even made a small one. I decided to go big and do it. I was nervous, but once I started, the worries I held onto faded away and I knew I could keep going. It's partly because this podcast pushes you to have the guts to make the things happen. It ended up being a 20-foot mural that I am super proud of, partly because of the fact that I just did it, even though it scared me. Because of this podcast, I was also asked to join the Artist Advisory Committee for the Rochester Museum of Fine Arts after meeting and getting to know one of the co-directors, Matt Wyatt, who was a guest on our show. I am so honored to be included in some way with the RMFA. They are boundless with their ideas and energy.
You can tune in to episodes of the podcast on any major podcast platform: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and so on. You can also listen to the full episodes on our website, www.creativegutspodcast.com, so you can get inspired by the amazing people we've interviewed too.
In addition to the interviews, we also produce a series called Creative Catalogs. These mini episodes are our opportunity to highlight some creative people, things, or places we love. I love telling others about something awesome that I, quote, discovered, unquote. There is so much amazingness out there, and when something speaks to me, whether it be a digital artist, a new book, a comic, a fiber artist, digital collage, a song, on and on and on, I feel the need to share. I want to bond with others like a nerd over something amazing someone else created. I can't even tell you how many embroidery artists I've sent poor Sarah via Instagram Messenger.
Occasionally, we throw in some other surprise bonus episodes too. Often these are an opportunity to share something timely, like an upcoming call for art or a project or event we're working on or an art show that we're both participating in.
Recently, we ran a limited series called Creative Pulse, featuring creatives from all over the country who shared how they are using their art, or not, to cope with the coronavirus pandemic. These episodes were so beautiful. Some creatives thrive while others barely survived. Some found solace in their art during this time while others weren't able to produce at all. It was moving to hear how people were handling the pandemic and coping with COVID and connecting us to realize it's okay to handle it in whatever way that you handle it.
And because we were having so much fun and we wanted to do more and more and more, over the winter, we decided to host our first event. We held a meet and make in January and gathered at Art Up Front Street in Exeter, New Hampshire to work and chat and eat and drink alongside other makers. We've since held 2 more meet and makes, this time virtually. Just before the pandemic, we also hosted an in-person meet and critique. Artists came together to share their work and their ideas, and we were lucky enough to have a former Creative Guts guest and art educator, Becky Barcy, as a facilitator for the event. She structured the evening so that there were multiple ways artists could connect over each other's work, like one-on-one chats that rotated speed dating style and group discussions. It was an intimate evening filled with advice, stories, and laughter.
And the latest adventure for the Creative Guts team is our very first zine. Back in March, we had put out a call for art and the world responded. Our first ever zine was dedicated to the theme of Gutsy, the other half of Creative Guts, and features 18 artists from all over the country and the world. You can check out the zine online at creativegutspodcast.com/zine and send us a note if you'd like to purchase a physical copy for only $5.
We loved our spring zine so much, we've already put out a call to art for a summer zine. This zine is extra special because it'll be a youth edition. Our youth zine is sponsored by Art Up Front Street Gallery and Studios in Exeter, New Hampshire, so it'll be free for young people to participate. It's our goal, using the zine as a vehicle, to tell the stories of those who are brave enough to put themselves out there. And oftentimes, the bravest are the youngest among us, expressing themselves freely using their creativity and imaginations. Young people have until midnight on July 17th, that's just a couple weeks away, to get their work in. So go to our website or Facebook ASAP for more details.
And who knows what is next for the Creative Guts team. So stay tuned to our website, creativegutspodcast.com, and give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle on both platforms is at Creative Guts Podcast.
So that's our story. If you're ready to share yours through the medium of podcasting, here's what you need to know. Let's start by talking about what equipment you'll need. First things first, start small. We started with a simple Yeti Snowball microphone. Episodes 2 through 5 of Creative Guts are only okay quality-wise. We're perfectionists and we loved what we were doing, so it didn't take us long to upgrade.
We ended up switching to the Rodecaster Pro. It is a fully integrated podcast production studio. It is designed for amateurs and seasoned broadcasters. Professionals alike. It's simple and intuitive to use and also very versatile and customizable. It has 4 XLR mic inputs, 5 headphone jacks, 8 sound pad buttons, and a million other specs I won't go on and on about. We actually purchased ours through Sweetwater, the company that makes the Rodecaster Pro, and they have been really nice to work with, giving a lot of hands-on support. And we actually had to pick up a lot more equipment as well. We have 3 microphones. 2 are Audio-Technica AT2020 Condenser Studio XLR microphones, and 1 is an AKG P420 large diaphragm condenser microphone. Besides the microphones, we also purchased pop filters, XLR cables, headphones, a hard case with a soft and fitted interior for the Rodecaster Pro to live in to protect our investment, and mic stands. We actually have 2 types of mic stands.
We originally bought adjustable table mic stands and then later bought desk mounting suspension scissor arm stands. The scissor arm stands came a little down the road when we realized that a lot of people like to talk with their hands. Little casual bumps into the stand or the microphone itself was causing an editing nightmare for us. So we researched a bit more and we learned that those kinds of stands are a great option for avoiding accidental hits. They still happen, but they're a lot more rare.
We also edit the show ourselves, write our own show notes, manage our website and social media, and more. So I'm a musician myself, and I knew a little bit about how to edit audio. Back in the day, I started out with Audacity, which is a free software anyone can get on the internet. The interface isn't super fancy, but it gets the job done. When we started the podcast, I did start editing with Audacity for a while, but I decided to learn Audition, which is a bit more hefty of a program, and it happened to come with the Adobe Creative Suite, which I was already paying a monthly subscription for as a graphic designer. It wasn't too hard to pick up, and I love working with it. With any software you use, there are going to be a lot of great tutorials and videos on YouTube to help you out, so not knowing how to edit shouldn't hold you back.
And I am living proof of that, because for me, editing was the steepest learning curve. Turns out, it isn't really that hard to do the basics, so if I can do it, anyone can. I use Reaper to edit. It's a software that you can download for free. You can actually use it for free indefinitely, but out of sheer guilt and because I was using it so much, I did end up buying a license.
Tune into our episodes with Zach Little of The Last Podcast, Dave Swillam of the Waking Up From Work podcast, and Becky Karish of the Read To Me podcast to hear about how other New Hampshire podcasters do their thing. You'll find all podcasters do it a little different. Zach has a refreshingly chill approach to podcasting, and he'll record with a phone if he has to. Becky, the resourceful lady that she is, outsources her editing. Pure genius. And Dave not only edits his own podcast, but he'll edit yours too. He's an audio engineer with a dream of lowering the barrier to entry for wannabe podcasters. There is no right way to do it.
The other thing that you need to know about is hosting. So we use Simplecast. We upload our episodes, and then Simplecast automatically releases our episodes to the world through all the major podcast platforms. So we don't have to individually upload our episodes to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Stitcher, etc. That's what the RSS feed is for. In addition to Simplecast, Podbean and Anchor are other popular ones that I've heard ads for. Simplecast has been easy to use, it has a nice user interface, and it's only $15 a month.
Before you start on your podcasting journey, we want to share some of the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope we seem put together, but we've made plenty of mistakes along the way.
First thing is to get clear on what you want to get out of the podcast. What's your goal?
Are you hoping to make money? For us, podcasting is a passion project, and while it would be cool to at least cover our costs, we recognize there are far easier ways to make money. Podcasting is a lot of work, so you have to love it. Some podcasters do make money, and there is plenty to read on the topic thanks to our friend Google. It is also good to know how much money you're willing to invest before you start.
Spend a lot of time thinking about your brand. Before we even told anyone about the podcast, we spent a lot of time brainstorming, writing our mission statement, designing our logo, going back and forth on what we wanted to get out of it. We had a lot of ideas, and we kept them organized in a Google Drive folder.
And in the beginning, we also launched our social media presence. We started with just a Facebook page, and later added an Instagram and a website at the start of 2020. We also created a teaser trailer to release just before we released our first few episodes to get people excited.
Take a peek at our teaser trailer right now. The podcast, as expected, has evolved a bit over time, but there are a few things that we've done since day one, like we give a sticker to all of our guests as a thank you, and we take a selfie with each of our guests before the interview.
We also spent a lot of time deciding how we would structure our episodes, and 50-something episodes later, we have it down to a science. Looking back, we couldn't be more grateful to have recorded a few episodes before our release date with people we knew and were comfortable with. Make mistakes early and learn from them.
You'll also need to flesh out the logistics. Here's the boring stuff. How often are you going to release new episodes and on what day of the week? It doesn't sound like a tricky question, but consistency is important, and it's helpful to do a little research and pick something that works for you. It may seem appealing to have a weekly podcast, but think about how much you have going on in your life and how realistic it is for you to record, edit, and produce all the other things that go along with each episode. You might start out as a bi-weekly podcast, producing great content that doesn't stress you out. There are great groups on Facebook and Reddit to connect with other podcasters and get their advice, so we recommend doing that.
Another element of making a podcast to ponder: where are you going to record your podcast? We were incredibly lucky to have a dedicated space to record. I, Laura, am one of the artists at Art Up Front Street, and I have a studio there where I make my art. We are blessed there with one of the most amazing women I'll ever meet as our leader and our landlord, Rose Bryant. She is the epitome of generosity and loved the idea of us recording our podcast in my studio. We do have some ambient sounds coming from other studio mates from time to time, but we're okay with that. It has character. In general, having a quiet space to rely on will make your life a lot easier.
One of the decisions that we made at the very beginning was that we wanted to have bloopers at the end of our episodes. So our studio mates at Art Up Front Street, who are occasionally around when we're recording an interview, make for awesome bloopers. You can always count on Ann Kenny to sneeze during an episode.
Yes. And finally, if you can, find a partner. This work has been so much easier and more fun together than it would have been alone.
Each episode is a process. First, we identify guests and we make sure that they're a good fit for our show.
Next, we schedule a time and a place to record.
Then we research our guest, aka stalk them on the internet, and prepare for the interview. We always go into our interviews with an interview sheet and a general idea of what we're going to ask them.
Finally, we get to record. This is the most fun part. Interviewing feels a lot like sitting down with a new friend and asking them a lot of personal questions. It's pretty amazing.
Then, sadly, we have to edit the episode. This is definitely the least fun part, but a necessary evil to get rid of all those ums and mouth noises.
And then finally, we release the episode into the world and promote it.
All of that work is a lot easier when it's split between the two of us. Having a partner is also amazing for when life happens and you need to be cut a little slack. Your co-host is there to pick it up for you.
We end each interview with a round of rapid-fire questions. We thought we'd do that today as well. Rapid-fire is exactly as it sounds. Quick questions with quick answers. We have a few questions about the art and science of podcasting that we're going to answer as rapidly as we can.
First question, what are your favorite and least favorite aspects of podcasting?
So as you kind of hinted at earlier, the actual interview of a guest is my favorite part, especially the end where it feels like we've been friends for years. The least favorite is actually the second round of edits that I have to often make. I will edit an episode, then Sarah listens and gives me edits for things I may have missed, and I hate re-editing in general, in artwork, in writing, in anything. The second round of edits kill me.
Very interesting answer. I'll definitely agree that the interview is the best part. How often do you get to sit down with somebody who has a fascinating story and ask them a bunch of personal questions? It is such a meaningful way to engage as humans. I share Laura's dislike for editing. It's fine. Sometimes it's even relaxing, but it is so time consuming. I might also add that being consistent on social media has definitely been a challenge for us. I love the brand we've created and what we put out there into the world, but some weeks I have more energy for the posting on social media than other weeks.
Next question. What is something you've learned from our year of podcasting, Sarah?
It is so hard to choose just one thing. Back when we interviewed Lyle and Karen of Big Ink, episode 3 of Creative Guts, our second ever interview, I barely knew what printmaking was, and now I dabble in printmaking myself. I could also add audio editing, videography, and embroidery to that list, but I think the most important thing that I've learned is that I can do it, and I am creative. I grew up thinking that I didn't have the gene for creativity. It turns out that that's not how it works. I needed someone to tell me that, and Laura and 30 or 40 something other guests did the trick.
For me, what I've learned is to relinquish creative control and trust my partner has my back. It has always been more about my comfort, as I'm a bit of a control freak rather than my trust in Sarah. But like when you first do a trust fall, it gets easier and easier to rely on the other each time you do it. And thank God I have Sarah who has my back.
Next question. Laura, what's an episode that you would point to and say, start with this one, to someone who's totally new to Creative Guts and looking to dive in?
Gosh, that is tough because all of our guests have been really phenomenal. Aside from the first episode, which kind of lays out what we are, I would suggest someone start with Dirkish Delights. He would probably be my pick. It has a perfect blend of serious inspiration and serious giggles. He is a silly, wonderful, generous man and an old friend of mine.
It truly is an impossible question. And just so all of our listeners fully grasp the irony of that, I did write that question. I scrolled through our feed today trying to answer that question. And I thought, ooh, that episode was great. No, that one, over and over and over again. I remember really enjoying our interview with Brian Paul. I remember how awesome I felt during that conversation and what a breeze that interview was to put together. But, you know, I also loved our conversations with Samaya Kashi and Becky Karish, so I don't know. I'm going to go with the annoying non-answer and say it depends on who I'm talking to.
So how do you measure the success of the podcast?
For me, it's totally about how our show has helped others. I think more than anything, I love hearing that two creatives met because of the show and decided to collaborate. We've connected folks before who we thought, how do these people not know each other? I've come to think of us as conveners, which is a really cool byproduct of hosting events too. We are responsible for a handful of friendships and creative collaborations.
For me, when someone says they were inspired to try a new creative thing or get back into a creative passion because they listened to our show, when I hear that, feels like a home run. We accomplished our mission. We inspired someone else to be creative, and that's the whole freaking point of this wonderful podcast. And last question, what type of creative, discipline-wise, have we not interviewed yet that you want to get on the show?
Gotta be an architect. No questions, no hesitations. I am dying to have an architect on the show. I think I know who I'm gonna ask too, so you'll just have to stay tuned in to find out.
Ooh, I'd like to interview an aerial silks or acrobatic performer. I've been watching some on Instagram lately for inspiration on poses for some paintings, and I'm fascinated by the art of dance and performance with such pure strength and grace. And side note, I've tried aerial silks and definitely did not have grace when I did it. So much appreciation to those who can. So that was a taste of our rapid fire. And really, the whole point of the podcast is to spread the joy and accessibility of being creative. If you haven't gotten into your creative passion yet, and I say yet because you will, you should, and you can. So find resources, find fellow people to create with, and go make your thing.
That's a wrap on today's show. Thank you again to the Nashua Public Library for giving us this opportunity to share our story and teach you how to share yours through the medium of podcasting. We also owe a huge thank you to Raphael Bastek, aka Bug. Bug is a musician, and his music has been a central piece of our podcast over the past year. Bug himself was the star of episode 6 of Creative Guts, so you can go back and hear his whole story. His beautiful music has been the backdrop to every episode of Creative Catalogs, our teaser trailer, and more. We love and appreciate Bug and the opportunity to share his music with the world.
And thank you, as always, to our listeners who keep coming back.
If you want to learn more about Creative Guts, you can find past episodes on all major podcast platforms and on our website, www.creativegutspodcast.com. Don't forget to follow and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/creativegutspodcast, and Instagram, instagram.com/creativegutspodcast.
And we finish each episode the same way. Why should we not do that here? So with that, show us your creative guts. We started with a snowball microphone. A winter snowball, like we talked into.
And if you're ready to share yours through the medium of podcasting, I was doing test audio, and so I was singing the song that Aaron made up about Luna, and so I'm like, maybe I'll put that in the bloopers. We'll see.
Oh, nice. Can I hear a line of the song right now?
No.
Why not? Guts,
it's embarrassing.
Sarah. Guts, what, the line, or are you singing?
The me singing part. Well, the song is embarrassing, but I didn't write it, so I don't care.
Right.
Aaron wrote it. Luna, Luna Rabbit, she's the cuddliest one of the bunch. She'll cuddle you just after lunch. Bouncy Bo wants nothing more to get beyond the bedroom door. Luna,